Court Report is present. If our Vice Chair, Mark Wilson, can lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Regular school board meeting in December 2012. The recommendations of the committee are advisory only and are subject to revision and amendments by the school board. What is redistricting? Redistricting is the process of redrawing the lines of districts from which public officials are elected so that there is a balance in the population within the newly formed districts. The goal of this process is to ensure that residents have equal representation on the school board. School board member voting districts does not impact student attendance boundaries or bus transportation. Current U.S. Census data. According to the 2010 U.S. Census, school board member districts 2, 3, 5, and 7 are above or below 5% of the total district population average. Proposed changes to the single board member districts will modify the geographic areas from which school board members in districts 1 through 7 are elected. Seats 8 and 9 are countywide and will not be impacted by redistricting. New single board member districts should be equal in population as possible while providing all citizens the right to be equally represented. The guiding principles. The committee, in developing its recommendations, shall take into consideration the school board redistricting guiding principles when building new single member districts. The school board has recently amended the guiding principles to allow for more clarifying language. Florida state law requires the following single board member redistricting requirements. New school board member districts must be drawn so that their populations are as close to being equal as possible. Changes must take place in odd number year. Serving board members would not be disqualified for the term in which they were elected should a change affect their residence qualifications. And there are to be 7 single board member districts represented by members whom are elected from the district in which they reside. 2 additional board members will represent the county as a whole for a total of 9 school board members. Compliance with Public Law 89-10, Voting Rights Act of 1965, is also required to be followed. The following Florida constitutional provisions may also be considered when drawing new districts. No apportionment plan or individual district shall be drawn with the intent to favor or disfavor a political party or an incumbent, and districts shall not be drawn with the intent or result of denying or abridging the equal opportunity of racial or language minorities to participate in the political process or to diminish their ability to elect representatives of their choice and shall consist of contiguous territory. Unless compliance with the standards in this subsection conflicts with the standards of subsection A, or with federal law, districts shall be nearly equal in population as practical, districts shall be compact, and districts shall, where feasible, utilize existing political and geographical boundaries. The order in which the standards within subsections A and B of this section are set forth shall not be read to establish any priority of one standard or the other within that subsection. The Broward School District will also look at guiding principles important to the Broward County School District, which include alignment of single-member districts within high school innovation zones, allows school communities to be represented by one board member with minimal disruption whenever possible. Alignment of single-member districts with equal number of schools within a district whenever possible. Preservation of communities of interest whenever possible. The process. Beginning in January and February 2012, the redistricting committee will hold orientation The committee will meet no more than twice per month and go through events, 7 public meetings held throughout the county from March through July 2012. The public is encouraged to attend any or all of these meetings where draft proposals will be presented and commented on. For more information on how to create and submit a map alternative, or just comment on an existing one, please visit the district redistricting website at www.k12ll.x/redistricting or telephone Patrick Thibault at 754-321-2480. Public mapping workshops and public two-hour mapping meetings may be attended to assist you in the creation of a new single member map. Following the school board member election process in the fall, the school board will workshop map proposals they would like to see move forward. The process is scheduled to conclude with the school board votes on a new single board member district map at a regular school board meeting in early 2013. Thank you for being here today and for your involvement in this important process.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. As additional instructions, presenters of map alternatives will have up to 5 minutes for your presentations. Following each map alternative being presented, members of the public wishing to comment on a specific map alternative will have up to 2 minutes. Those wishing to speak should use the microphones located in the front of the room. Speakers will be called to the microphones by name in the order they appear on the sign-in sheets. Speakers are requested to state their name and address before beginning their comments. Each speaker is limited to 2 minutes and will be advised when 1 minute remains. When the time limit has been reached, speakers will be notified by the chair to conclude their comments. Speakers may comment on presented map alternatives immediately following each presentation. Comments should be limited to only the map alternative being presented. After the committee has heard all map alternatives noticed on the agenda and public comments on those map alternatives, the public will provide an additional opportunity under public comment to make a general comment on the redistricting process or comment on a map alternative previously submitted. Speakers are asked to refrain from the use of inappropriate language and behavior. We ask that you model the district's key character traits, cooperation, responsibility, citizenship, kindness, respect, honesty, self-control, tolerance. We are asking all speakers and audience members to extend every courtesy to each other and to the members of the redistricting steering committee. And the same courtesy will be extended to you. The chair, at this time, invites North Lauderdale Commissioner Jerry Gracioso to present map alternative 1.
Good evening, committee members, and thank you very much for allowing us this opportunity to present our alternative. My name is Jerry Gracioso. I reside at 1560 Southwest 63rd Avenue, North Lauderdale. Currently, I'm in District 4. My home address. Great for this district. Just to let you know, I was elected last year to the City of North Lauderdale Commission, and when I got on board, we found out that really the City of North Lauderdale and some others had not really participated in school district functions such as boundary redistricting and other. And when I came on, I asked the commission, and at meetings they have passed resolutions supporting that. They asked me to represent the city and to try to get involved with school district issues, which I think all cities should. I know this Friday we're meeting to set up our first educational advisory board. So we're working with the school district this Friday on that. The reason we also got involved is my area where I reside was unincorporated, and I worked with Christian Jacobs many years ago with the unincorporated Broward communities to try to get us annexed into areas and to do it in a positive light and to try to work with both sides. And when we got annexed, one of the issues that came up was boundaries, districting, all of these issues. That when you're in an incorporated area, you weren't represented by a city. And your representation was limited in all areas. So when we were annexed, I resided in that area for 40 years. Nothing has changed in our area in 40 years. Highways have been built, the areas have been connected, transportation has changed in that area, communities have changed, but nothing with the school district has changed. The last two board members for District 4 didn't even know my school was in their district, that's in my neighborhood. So we felt it was important, after we got annexed, we looked at the 10 schools that we have in our area now, our city now has 10 schools, 9 are in one district, 1 in another. And that one school has never been properly represented because no one ever knew what district it was in. So when I met the commission, I told them that, and we looked at everything, they thought it was important that we try to come up with something. So Andrew here works with the city of Norfolk, and then when we got together, we contacted the districting department. We went through the class, and we met down at KCW, and we tried to come up with what we thought based on all the changes in unincorporated areas, annexations, all the things that have happened in Broward County, and try to come up with something that would address all of those. So we looked at innovation zones, we looked at city limits, because I talked to my representatives in other cities around that with some of their concerns, where they live in a particular area that they vote for doesn't necessarily pertain to their schools in that area. So we looked at the main roads and we looked at natural boundaries, and this is basically the map that we came up with to meet the guidelines that the district committee had to get the population as close as possible. There were some very large differences, and if you look, we brought everything down to less than 5%, actually in most cases less than 2%, and we tried to make sure we balance the way it is around Broward County, looking at all those issues that I just described, city limits and main roads, natural boundaries, and innovation zones. And as you know how Broward County is, most of the residential and high populated areas to the west, and east, because of larger commercial areas, you have less students on the east than you have on the west. So basically, when you go by your population, your zones, your districts on the east side are going to look larger than those on the west. But that was our goal. I'm sorry. Oh, thank you. That was our goal at the commission. We did review the map at the commission meeting. They met in a meeting. They voted to support this, and they asked me to, I think after it was done, they voted on it, we submitted it back to the school board as being approved by the city and board of commissioners, and then they asked me to be here tonight. And I want to thank you for that opportunity. It was a learning experience. I have to tell you that for anyone that's gone through this, trying to balance all of the items that you have listed there for guidelines. Thank you again.
Thank you. At this time, we are going to open the floor to members of the public. What I would ask for this portion of it, if you please line up to the microphone, if you would like to speak to the map only, if you have a comment that's on the map that is presented on the agenda. Seeing, is there any member of the public who wishes to speak to the map? Okay. I state your name and your address, please.
Andrew Disberry, 3100 Palm Tree, St. James Drive, Davie, Florida. Just wanted to thank the commission for this process and undertaking this effort. I think it's something that has had to be done for a long time. I am a product of the Broward County School System, as well as an urban planner with the city of North Lauderdale. And we were very thankful to work on this project with you. I believe that the alternative one redistricting map satisfies all of your requirements, and also the new redistricting lines, just for members, are much, much cleaner and much neater than the original, in my opinion. So just something for the commissioners and the districts to talk about, but I think it's a great endeavor, and as well as we have satisfied all the requirements. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak to this matter? Just light up the microphone. Please state your name and your address. Each speaker is given 2 minutes.
Martha Mancio, address 1841, Northwest 180th Way, Pepper Pines, District 2, out west. My question was, trying to figure out where Southwest Mansion ended up in this alternative. Or is it all in District 2, or?
If you look at page 10 of 15 of the agenda packet, or perhaps we show it. Yes. So, right here.
It falls into District 2.
So all of Southwest Ranches will be in town?
Okay, well, let's let the member of the public speak, and this will let Patrick Blair go on the boundaries.
Right now, proposed alternative one, you have the western portion of Southwest Ranches. In District 2, you have the eastern portion of Southwest Ranches in District 6. And that eastern portion is the portion of Southwest Ranches east of Interstate 75.
So all of Southwest Ranches that's in the Cooper City I zone would be in District 6, then. Is that correct?
Correct. Cooper City is entirely in this alternative one. Cooper City is entirely in District 6.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Gross. And Rose, thank you for coming to the mapping workshop on Saturday.
Rose Waters, and I live at 615 Northwest Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And well, I'm learning about this, and I wanted to ask a little bit about the map here, and especially of District 5, and learning that they all have a representative. And my whole thing is just remembering that I had kids in school, and the representatives are the ones who fight for the school to be the type of school that they want to be. So when I'm looking at the map and how this applies, that it's all there together. And my thing is, wouldn't it be a better thing if the ladies take 4 and take the kids to 7 and take 5 and put some of 5 and 7 and some of 5 and 4 and then bring some of 4 and 7 down. Just an example, I'm not saying that's a fact, but wouldn't that make for a more equal representation? Because what I'm looking at here is a group of people in number 5, and the lines are drawn as long as the population meets the standard at 5%. And I'm just thinking that somehow whether we can manage to move the lines to take 4, bring some of 4 into 5, take some of 5 and put it to 4, 7, and so forth and so on, to kind of like having a more balanced number of people in that district of color, and the 7 of color, and bringing some of the non-blacks over to District 5 as far as drawing. And I think, for me, I think that would make for a more equal and balanced representation, whoever may be elected to represent them. That's my statement.
Thank you. What I would encourage you to do is, if you'd like, make an appointment with the boundary staff to possibly come up with a map and use that as a starting point to present that if you'd like.
Okay, thank you.
and I both came down to the KCW building. We thought that the step, like you said, we haven't been through the process. This is all brand new to us also. But we found the staff to be very accommodating, very knowledgeable, very able to assist us. It's a challenge. We came in with our notes, but it is a challenge to do the entire county in 22 hours. Adjusting, with the young lady, the previous speaker, we looked at that also. And if you look at the figures, there was a substantial change in the ratio of makeup, because we did move the lines to bring it down from almost 69% to 54%. So that's a substantial, when you look at the population in that area, and breakdown. But getting that information is what helped with Patrick and with Jill and her staff. That's what we're looking for, is to try to get the numbers balanced like that. And they had that information available when we looked at the polling places. I was so used to using task zones from boundary meetings and other functions with the school district, looking at it from the election, those districts, it's a lot different than looking at it from the students. But they had the information, they made it very easy. I think you sent them a part of it. And we were very pleased. We were very pleased with the staff and the assistants helping us through that process.
Thank you. Just to note, members, in your agenda materials, page 12 and 15 shows you the current diversity versus alternate, not alternative ones, diversity. So when you do look at that, that does reflect what changes there were as far as how it impacts various populations. So just this is our first one, you know, out of the gate, so I just want to make sure that we understand the materials that are coming to us.
Mr. Chair, if I might add to the public, you do have the opportunity to make the appointment, but you don't have to start from scratch. So if you like the majority of where map alternative one is, you can come in and make modifications to that map as a starting point. If you see that there are areas that you'd like, in order to, you know, get your ideas out on paper, and as Mr. Grazia has said, and seeing real time the effects of the changes, please come and make an appointment.
Thank you.
And from my observation of the time I was sat in, it's interesting to see when they move the lines down quickly, then you have to rethink what they're doing. So it's a learning process. So, are there any questions from the committee?
Do
you have any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, we limited questions. This one we don't have much on our agenda, but we will be getting out on time tonight. We have time. Start late. Mayor?
Thank you. I've been looking at the cities, and I know that one of your concerns is the fact that your city was split before, so that you have one school out of the city and nine schools in the city. I'm just looking at the number of cities that are still here. I know we had one of the speakers asked about Southwest Ranches. So I'm wondering if you counted within those cities, how many of the schools I'm counting Pompano, Montevideo, Winter Harbor, so there you go, about 8 or 9 cities that are split under this map. Do you know how many schools are impacted by that?
Not a total number. I've looked at some. We did more. I do. I know more of the north area. When we looked at it, our city wasn't just split. It was like sliver. It was little slivers. There still is. We didn't use the high fire thing. We tried to use main roads. In Margie, I believe Liberty Elementary. I don't know about the charter schools. I don't have the location. But their Liberty Elementary is right there on the borderline of Coconut Creek. They're right on the city limit line. So we looked at the schools with the relationship to city limit lines, also Range Roads. So that school basically was on the basic line of Coconut Creek. I'm not aware of any in the Southeast area there that we split up the schools into different areas. We tried to keep it, like I said, looking at natural boundaries, major roads, innovation zones, trying to keep them with their the high schools and whatever, that was a major issue to try to accomplish. So our goal was to try to, innovation zone for major was a major factor along with the city limit lines and major roads and the natural boundaries. Like on the Southwest Ranges having I-75.
Right, and so can I just ask
one? There was no schools in the Southwest Ranges on the east side.
There was not on the side that was impacted by the split was for our zone. The zone is together under, it looks like it's in two different Southwest Ranges is split and West Broward Zone split, but you're saying schools are not split.
There's no schools in Southwest Ranges east of I-75. There's no schools in Southwest Ranges, period. No public schools. We don't have any schools in Southwest Ranges. In the city.
Those are my two questions. So it's not schools.
Meryl?
Yes, I just want to confirm there are no schools in Southwest Ranges. However, their boundaries are still split between the two zones, as Mary said, because all of Southwest and that daily portion that now is moved to District 6 also goes to West Bradford. So for the school, there will be more than one.
Are there any other questions to the committee?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to ask the Commissioner about your map. You mentioned several things you considered. Innovation zones, municipal values, major roadways. You also mentioned the question of ethnic distribution. Bring District 5 down 54% black. And I think you alluded to compactness. Did you have any compactness? I think when you compared this to the other map, it was more.
Yeah, Andrew and I looked at trying to make this.
Hey, you can go to the microphone.
I'm sorry.
The question, and really, did you consider any prioritization among these different stated objectives?
When we met with the group, we started looking at it, like I said, adjusting. We tried looking at innovation zones first, because we know that the movement of children, we know this has nothing to do with school boundaries or transportation. But we looked at innovation zones because trying to get the people who live in those innovation zones to vote that would pertain to their innovation zone. And when we worked with that, then if there was issues where we could not achieve it, then we had to look, at major obstacles, major highways, or natural boundaries, and then city limits to make sure we didn't create little slivers that in ours, if you look at the previous one, our area is actually like three or four. It comes, all of those districts come right into North Lauderdale. And that's what caused a lot of confusion, and we were trying to prevent that in other cities. That's the proposal if you show the original. Between us and Margie right there, everything came right in. The different 5, 7, the existing 5, 7, and 4 all zoomed right in, a piece of it right into North Lauderdale.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Rawls.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, can you call me up for me?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
So, when you put the hammer on District 4, that because of the innovation, put that hammer there. And I guess the same thing will probably apply to 7. When we look how 9 runs up through the middle of 7, we got 7 on both sides of 5, rather than, as one of the speakers said earlier, having that more compact. Did the innovation zones cause that to happen when you were trying to keep things compact?
Well, we looked at innovation zones, but as Patrick mentioned over there, when you start punching in the different election zones there where the people are registered to vote, the numbers change dramatically.
Mr. Gracias is referring to the precinct.
Precinct numbers.
So
the precinct.
That precinct.
Well, you gotta remember one of your guidelines is to keep the difference in population, try to make the population as equal as possible, or no more than 5%. So when we started out with a goal, but when you try to achieve the goal, in many cases, the population shift and the numbers were outside what your guidelines were. So when that happened, we started with our main goal of the innovation zones and the cities, and then we had to start going back and say, okay, let's start looking at the major roads and natural barriers within those to see if we could bring the numbers into less than 5%. That was the major part of the project, was coming in with the idea, coming in with the plan, but then when you plug in the numbers, it would be nice to have a nice, clean, every district, no breaks and innovation zones and everything else, but the numbers just are not there to meet your guidelines.
Okay. I didn't quite get an answer to my question.
Okay, I'm
my
sorry.
My question was, in District 4,
right.
When you drop down on the southern end of District 4, you have to go panhandle there?
Correct.
That those people that live in there, they need to pick up somebody else. That's one of them. Then when I look at District 5, and I see how District 5 goes up into District 7, and you got 7 on both sides of 5, again, you know, if you were trying to deal with innovation zones, I halfway understand the reason for your drawing. But it did away with compactness when you made those.
Oh, this is much cleaner than what you have right now.
No doubt about it.
I try to answer your question because unless you've done a math and looked at all the figures, you don't know where we are. Anytime we did something to try to do an innovation zone, try to keep a city, try to keep everybody together, whatever we did, if we pulled one area and the numbers changed, we had to then try to find the numbers somewhere else to balance. It's your guidelines. It's a less than 5% change in population, keeping it so it doesn't exceed the 5%. So when we move something from 4, if we moved anything from 4 or anything from 7 or anything from 5, we were looking at 5 to begin with. 5 needed additional. So when we were meeting with staff and they're looking at the map, we're going, District 5 needs. So as the previous speaker said, could you go up into 7? Well, if you look at the maps, we went up into 7. And that's exactly what she asked to do. Could you go up into 7, take a look at the two maps, and we did. That's how, you know, in order to get the numbers to try to balance and not have people, what you have now, you talk about small areas or there's pockets. This cleaned up so many pockets. If you look at the existing map and trying to come up with something that made some kind of sense, at least we had the goal of trying to keep the innovation zones first, keep cities, keep groups, and then keep the population. So we had to look, and instead of splitting neighborhoods like mine, where the line goes down the middle of a residential street, your district, you know, instead of a main road, at least you can tell someone, an I-75, an I-95, but going down a two-lane residential street does not make any sense. And the people on one side of it vote has nothing to do with the school that's across the street. That's a sin and a problem needs to be fixed.
Thank you, sir. And Jeff, for your information, I had a new map in 2000, I drew a map in 1990, and I drew a map in 2010. Mm-hmm.
So you know the population shifts, and it's changed a lot since those years.
I'm right. Does any other members of the committee have a question? I want to thank you, Commissioner, for giving us the starting point of something for the committee to look at and public to consider as well. Looking at, I think it's beginning to start. What I will say, Mr. Roosevelt, I'm just going to say Mr. Roosevelt. I thank him for really being the first one to bring something forward. And I think that as we go forward, we're going to see a lot of things, and possibly others will take the current map and make those changes that have that concern. Awesome. So let's now go to the next portion of our meeting to item 6.3 for public comment from members of the public. This portion, members of the public will be allowed up to 2 minutes to provide a comment on your district, on any general comments regarding the district process. So if there's any members of the public, which are signed up. I have two sheets here of five names. Commissioner Presco, did you have a general comment on top of that? Okay. Andrew, did you also have a comment you were to make on your district process?
Yeah,
2 minutes.
You're going to
state your full name.
Andrew Disberry, 3100 Palm Chase, Miami, Florida. The redistricting process is a combination of many things in general. They're looking at data as far as population, race, TAZ, as we stated, so that was all taken. Has all been taken into account into the redistricting. So the maps may not look as clean as we would like them, or may not work out as good as some would like. But they really do have a lot to take into consideration, and you kind of have to counterbalance what you're trying to do with each one of the requirements.
Thank you. Next is Martha Mansfield.
I have another question. Maybe I'm confused by the way the census was taken, but without a calculator, I'm coming up with a population total for the district of Hispanic and non-Hispanic of 1,748,000, give or take. However, when I add up the racial categories, I'm coming up with 1,271,000. About a half a million difference, so I was wondering how that was figured.
I believe the Hispanic and non-Hispanic, some of those numbers I believe are duplicated.
Yes, Mr. Chair, you are correct. The census breaks it down to Hispanic and then non-Hispanic. And then the other races say white, black, American, Indian, Asian, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, other, and then multi-race. Those numbers were total population for those particular races, and the non-Hispanic the total Hispanic race is what the total population is. So the other races are the numbers for the non-Hispanic.
Okay. So the total population we're dividing into seven districts would be what?
Total population divided by seven districts is 249,724.
It's 1,748,066.
Thank you.
And each single school board member district should average 249,724. Commissioner Iris, did you have a comment?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming and representing the city of Pembroke Pines. Rose Walters, did you have a comment?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I want to thank you for members of the public for participating and for the Commissioner Pasiosi for bringing forward the map for that portion. We're now going to be moving to the next portion of our agenda. Which is item 7, the Chair's Report. And very briefly, at first, we've had some arrivals while the meeting was going on. If staff can reflect our arrivals, just announce who arrived, so for the record.
For the record, we have an attendant, Smith, representing
As you'll see, our attendance policy, because our attendance policy, some members have come off. Mr. Cooley actually moved away from Orlando to accept the transfer of the business company. So we will be having some new members join us. We have a few vacancies, and I know board members are working on that. I want to thank staff and Mr. Busey and Mr. Walters for attending the mapping workshop on Saturday at Diller. We did have some members of the public attend and participate, so I'm very happy that they're getting participation increasingly as we go. Not ideally where we want to be, but we're getting there. On May 22nd, there's going to be a board workshop on the redistricting process to go before the board members. We have a quick overview, really, of what we've done and where we're going. At that time, the timeline that we've adopted as a recommendation sent to the board will be presented at that time and open for the board to discuss openly to provide us some feedback on that. I will invite all members, staff will be reserving some chairs. If you are going to be coming, please make sure to let Patrick know so he can have appropriate numbers of chairs available. And also, just the last thing on the attendance, Patrick does put on the cover. He asks you to respond if you're going to be coming or not coming. Just if you could help us this way, we know we're reaching quorum and everything else. If you could just give a quick response or reply email to that. Yes, Christine.
What time is the workshop on? Just 20 seconds.
And now I don't know. Workshops generally begin at 10 a.m. So because things, if they're doing really good and ahead of schedule, so I would plan on getting there, you know, just shortly after 10. Sometimes they flip-flop items, but I think it's probably more like 11 if that item is scheduled, but it may change.
Whenever possible.
bring this up is that because when Patrick was kind enough to notify all of us of the meeting, I, as the Edward Chair for Pembroke County, sent it out to all of our principals. I sent it out to as many one of our contacts as possible, including my counterpart in District 2, including the Edward Chair for the City of Miramar, Southwest Ranch, and Super City. And one of the things that I was notified with is that there was a conflict for a lot of them tonight, in that a lot of them participated in DAC, and tonight DAC is having their election. So they couldn't attend because of the conflict that had been presented. I would just suggest that in the future, we kind of, when we look at our dates, if we can look at the, you know, national calendar to see if there's any conflicting dates.
Well, there was, Patrick, if you could look at, just to make sure that we're not going to get conflict with the others. The others have already been noticed. There are still several other public hearings scheduled. Well, this one was in that particular district. We as a committee, I really feel reluctant to even change our calendar. That's been very well advertised. I think that.
I think right now it's too late, actually, but as we see, I mean, during the summer, it takes on a different connotation because there's really very little going on.
Right.
But it just, you know, because I don't have the master calendar available to me,
right.
I couldn't object to this date.
I
would have given the conflict.
Okay. Is there any other new business? Ms. Hurley.
I'm wondering, and I'm sure you said this, but when these are being advertised to the public, just exactly how are we advertising them?
Patrick.
They are being sent out through the Department of Government Relations, as well as in PSA format. It's also being sent out through the district to Miami Herald for newspapers at least 2 weeks in advance. Mr. Charles Webster is here from the Department of Government Relations.
Hi, Charles Webster with Public Relations and Government Affairs. Yeah, when we do a press release one day, we have a list of, I believe it's almost 200 periodicals, TV stations, et cetera, that we send in to. In addition, I have my own list that consists of education advisory boards, municipalities, elected officials. I have a list of some business organizations. I have through the Brown Alliance. I also include them, as well as congressional representatives, the county commissioners, state representatives, and just about anybody else you can think of, as well as, like last one, even had a representative from the Broward Regional Health Council send it out to their list. So we're going to the media, we're going to our contacts, we're going to our elected officials for help, as well as community organizations, NAACP, the Urban League, various incendiary alliances, DAC, you name it, we try to get it out.
I'll say that on Friday last week, this is 610 AM radio, I believe, I did a quick interview to help promote this hearing, as well as the workshop, and they did air a clip of it, which was on there, but, you know.
Well, I guess, let me just say that my poorly great question, obviously, maybe it's the point of what I'm saying. I'm wondering what we're saying when we're advertising, because we're not seeing a lot of people at these hearings, and we have many more scheduled, and don't take a lot of district resources, but when my on-time friend here, the commissioner from North Lauderdale, spoke tonight, he said something that I think really struck a chord with me, which is that we have a system, we have maps right now that divide neighborhoods down residential streets, and sometimes if you ask people, when they don't like, but you give them examples like, is your neighborhood split down the street, or, you know, what
background keeping recommendations and all this kind of stuff together. So I'm just wondering what we're saying, and going back to what Marilyn says about the ASEAN, when we're talking to carpenters, are we really getting to the core of what they are hoping to see as far as improved representation?
What I would say, I'm actually working on a redraft of the letter that went out in March. It was recirculated, that letter, again, which actually, circulation, it got people's attention this time, though, thankfully, so more people are seeing that letter that it went out. But if you can quickly run down to me some quick thoughts of what would be some nice teasers, without offering an opinion, but just some things that would trigger somebody to want to be involved or to attend and participate. What are, like, give me three kind of trigger things that you off the top of your head?
Well,
I need help with that. That's what I'm asking.
I'm just going to go back a lot of years to when we worked to come up with, you know, different type of representation for our county, because many of us felt that we didn't have adequate representation. That was one of the several districts. And so I know that's not one of the things that's important to us when something's on here tonight, which is keeping our city together, but that kind of split in the city of Florida between many representatives. But we also didn't feel like we, many of the parent community, didn't feel like we had a voice, because we had county elections and there was no real way that you had an ineffective school board member. You were always outvoted by at that time in Congress. So I, you know, how do we get to what people's concerns are today without how they're represented by their school board member? And I just really thought about, again, what you said about going down the middle of the street, but I'm sure there are other things that people feel keep them from receiving the type of representation that they were, the voice that they should have on the board. So I really don't know. I can't give you three questions right now, but I think we should just ask them. What keeps you from, what, do you feel there's something that's keeping you from being heard for the piece of representation you currently have? And if that's ever been as effective as it could be, what could you do, what would you like to see done to make, to give you a stronger voice?
So when I will rework the letter that originally went out and make sure it's, you know, one of the things I also want to do is bring down the reading level as well, so that the other one is so clinical. Put it in language also that, you know, just everyday person can sit and read and understand. So I know even sometimes letters like that can be overwhelming for people or just the process. And I do want to make sure to highlight the fact that the mapping meetings that can be scheduled with staff, because it also makes, you know, my district builder is a very intimidating process and overwhelming for an ordinary member of the public to attempt to use that. And I know that just from sitting in and watching the live time, and I encourage everybody, I've asked actually Patrick to, when we get a next public meeting scheduled for a 2-hour mapping public meeting scheduled for someone coming in to create a map, to notify the committee so that if you want to sit in and observe while it's being made, so you can get an idea of when that has to be created to see what was actually going into the process, but also to expose yourself to the process so you can see, you know, for later on, if what you're doing with the maps and weighing, you'll actually understand more of that.
And just from the brief conversation tonight that we've heard, the comments we've heard tonight, we could get to a point where, you know, we know that there are other priorities that we're looking at, but which of those priorities are the most important to the people that are going to be looking to us and make recommendations? Is it the innovation zone, the city, the neighborhood? What are the most, you know, is it that we don't go any, you know, we're trying to stay within 0.0005% for Adelaide's district? What's the most important consideration?
Okay.
Another
question. Great. Mr.
Crouch. Yes, good evening, Mr. Chair. Thank you, and I apologize for being tardy, but I haven't learned how to phone myself yet. I can't be in two places at one time.
Really?
I'm working on it.
I have to hear that, so I'm concerned with your mother. Don't worry. Those are dead, but later, not here.
Just too many meetings. Two things. Again, about getting the word out. 30-second, 60-second notices on every radio station possible. All radio stations, to my knowledge, have to do some kind of and it should be repeated throughout the day as often as you can do it on every station that you can get your hands on. If you go online, you can find all the radio stations in South Florida. They should all be asked to do to run these on a daily basis, 7 days a week, 24/7, really. Also, Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask Member Ferdy on how she was, how her committee, the Parent Community Involvement Committees, were so successful in getting the numbers of people. I attended one of them, and the room was full, the business event. What methods did you use to bring people to these meetings that we held over a 6-7 month period? And perhaps we can learn from that.
We basically offered them an open mic cycle with, you know, the parameters of what we hoped people would come up. How can we make your involvement in schools more meaningful? And, you know, so we created a question which I'll send you that. Send you what we wrote and then you can find something else.
Yeah,
I think if we get to the heart of what people are looking for, you know, it was a huge decision to go from district, from a county-wide representative to a single member, and really was a response to a community desire. And I think those desires in the community are still there to be heard. So we just have to tap into that and let other people know that we really want to hear from them about what meaningful representation is. And I'll send you a readout about health or not. But yeah, because, you know, the thing that amazed us was that people really did come out to say, this is what I wish you all would be doing differently with your involvement. So we know people want to be heard, we just have to do it another way, which we can't.
And Mr. Chair, we have to figure out what's in it for me kind of hook for the various things. It can't be the same one for all communities. We have to be sensitive to the needs and concerns of specific communities, but everyone needs to know what's in it for me to come out here, spend hours, maybe even create a map or two. How is it going to fit me, my neighborhood, my kids? And I'll think myself about what some of those what's in it for me ideas can be.
Senator Patrick, that's one thing I think. Really working that over the last week, trying to grab my mind with some of these. I know the next letter, using, like I said, the Florida School Board Member Association, they have six purposes of, you know, why there's a school board. It really talks about prioritizing, you know, curriculum, a lot of other things. And I'm going to be taking some of that as well from it. But I did want to get to, you know, I want to make sure there was a fine line of where it did go and where it could bend toward representation and not take that in context. So, is there any other new business?
Mr. Chair, sometimes the general public cannot get here because we meet kind of early, and I know last time we opened it up for one last shot, there was a gentleman who came in here. I wonder if you could open it up like we did last time. Okay.
Mr. Jones has said no. He's actually a colleague that I invited to listen to the area. So, with no new business, just go to a quick announcement before we adjourn. The next meeting is at Fort Lauderdale City Hall, Thursday, May 17th at 6 p.m. I know that our representatives have lived in the District 5 and 3 area are going to do a great job in helping get the word out. I know that Roland, this was kind of your baby to get it there, so I thank you for that. I know that there's been some buzzing, and actually I spoke with the city employee who actually, I guess, staffs the EAD, and so he's all excited that we're coming in now, so I really look forward to that part of it. I'm also going to really, if members can promote the Saturday, May 19th, 10 a.m., mapping workshop number 3 in the North area at Monarch High School in Coconut Creek. I really hope that we get some participation of that as well. Did you have anything, Joe? Okay. Is there any further business? Mr. Truck?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just for the record, you asked us at the last meeting to do what we can to get the word out. On Monday, the city Lauderdale had a advisory boards meeting training, you know, on that process. So at the end of that, I made the announcement about the May 17th event here at City Hall. So hopefully that's one way that they can use that body, captive audience, keep the board involved, to get the board out.
And just one last thing for you, I will say, you know, I've been in contact with Nadine Drew quite often, and I know that press releases are going out continuously. It's unfortunate that we don't control what goes on the radio, we don't control what goes in the papers as far as the news to cover, other than when we actually pay to have something advertised for members. So it's really getting that cooperation. We're getting some cooperation from some of the local area community newspapers. I know Westside Gazette, there's several other papers throughout who have been printing articles. But I know that it's just, unless we start like starting a rumor that this does affect every child in town school. I don't think that's a misunderstanding. Jill will pass it on. Because Jill's not going to have that medication. So, since there's no further business, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Mr. Heitner, you feel no love for yourself?
Nice job.
Well, there's a time to visit me on 595, so when you come back, I you know, last time I tried to push in,